Father, we come before you through the Lord Jesus Christ and want to thank you and praise you so much for the message and the meaning of Christmas. Lord, your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for the cross, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we pray, Lord, that in everything here tonight, that Christ would be exalted, and that, Lord, you would draw anyone who doesn't know him into a personal relationship with you. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you. not believe this, but my name's Angel. I've heard them all over the years having a name like this.
Oh, bet you have. What makes you want to audition for the role of Angel in the Life of Citizen?
Well, I'm an actress, and a pretty good one, if I might add.
I see.
Yep, I've been acting community theater since I was a wee little one. Was Annie.
Annie?
You know, the orphan one. Yep, I've also played Maria in West Side Story and the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera.
You played the Phantom?
Well, yeah. You see, they were short on men that summer, and well, I don't let an obstacle stand in my way. Thinking back, my rendition of the Phantom did have more of a soprano than a low baritone.
Oh, you sound more than qualified.
Well, I sure hope so. I've also played every role in the live nativity, except for my name, the Angel. I think it's about time.
Go ahead, grab the script and read the Angel line.
Alrighty, let's see here. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take to yourself Mary as your wife, for thou wilt
give. Stop for a minute, please.
Huh? I'm sorry?
Do you realize this isn't a musical? You're singing the script.
Oh, my bad, my bad, my bad. I just assumed we were going to jazz things up a little bit, you know?
A virgin, who's a child, is pretty jazzed up, don't you think?
So true. I guess I just get so used to the story. My bad, my bad, my bad.
Go ahead, take another shot at it.
Meaning you want me to sing it, right?
Please don't.
Right. Gotcha. My bad. Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
You read that.
Thank
fast.
You.
It's really great. Let's do it again, but this time with a little bit more...
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Oh, wow, moment. I mean, the Angel. The Angel made the biggest announcement ever. I mean, you count up all the announcements ever made, and this is the biggie. It's like the Angel was the first instant messenger, and he IM'd Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds.
Okay, I'll go with that. I never thought of it that way. An instant messenger. Good. Now, why don't you read it again?
Thanks, but no thanks. See, it's a big responsibility to say those lines, and no method of acting would ever get me ready for this role.
I don't want you to act. I want you to put yourself in the Angel's shoes.
Angels had shoes?
It's a figure of speech. What I mean is...
Wings! I bet you meant wings. You want me to put myself in the Angel's wings.
What I mean is we're supposed to carry this great announcement. As you put it, the instant messengers... the world, your neighborhood, your group of friends. So think of it in those terms.
You lost me there. How about I sing a little bit of Wind Beneath My Wings? Did you ever know that you're my hero? You're everything I wish I could.
I want you to stop holding on to what you know and what you're comfortable with and just surrender the truth. And I've got a plan and a purpose for this. I know you have some doubts, but dive in.
Okay. My bad. I'm just going to dive right in. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take to yourself Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins.
Really great Angel. Angel.
You mean it?
It was good.
You like me. You really like me. I can't wait to tell everybody I got the part.
I didn't say that, but I'll get back to you really soon. In the meantime, maybe you could put that name of yours to use. You're already a messenger with the greatest news ever told.
Oh, there I go again, making it about me. My bad, my bad, my bad.
George Clooney. Not the actor George Clooney, even though we look a lot alike. I know what you're going to ask. Are you two related? I don't know yet. Checking that out on FamilyTree.com. We'll see.
Hey, welcome, George. So you're here to audition for the live nativity scene this year.
I am, and very excited. I think if you allowed me to be part of your production, I could really add a lot to it.
Great. What character are you auditioning for?
Well, I was looking through the script, and it seems the character is in the play but not in the nativity. And I'd like to see if we could add him in this year.
So, you'd like to audition for a character that's not even in the live nativity?
Correct. You're so easy to talk to. That's true what people say about you. If you allowed my idea to be part of your play, I think I could really chew up the scenery. Help me help you.
Which character are you talking about?
King Herod.
Herod?
I know, right? You're feeling it, aren't you? King Herod. You've been wondering the same thing. It's okay. Give it a minute. Let it wash over you.
Wondering what?
Why the king didn't make a little cameo in the live nativity? He's the one that got the whole thing started with the census. Why is he left out?
Well, he's the bad guy in the story.
Exactly. Every great story has a villain. Darth Vader, J.R. Ewing, Lex Luthor, Joker, Scar from the Lion King. Let's put King Herod right in the middle of all of it.
He sends the wise men to go check things out.
Oh, I guess that's why you're the director. What about this? He's one of the wise men. Then boom goes the dynamite. There he is, laughing that mean, maniacal King Herod laugh. I've got you this time, my pretty, and your little drummer boy, too. Ha 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 ha!
I think you just quoted a spy movie and The Wizard of Oz all at the same time.
That's right, let's change the greatest story ever told.
He wanted to kill Jesus. He wanted to kill all the male babies around so he'd still be king. He tried to outsmart God.
Yeah, he almost did, too. But I don't want to. All the characters that were there, actually in the scene, were poor, dirty, and no flashy clothing. That's no fun.
That's the only way it can work.
No.
George.
I want to do it my way. My idea is a great idea. Let's change the story. My story.
That's where you and so many people get it wrong. It's not your story. It's his story. Sorry, the script isn't about you. I would love for you to play a part of the story. When you've made it about you and your ideas, we lose sight of why we even celebrate the greatest story.
Okay, I see what you're saying. My ego is not my amigo. I guess I'll audition for a shepherd. He sees an angel and carries a big stick.
Sure.
Great. But what about this? He's not actually a shepherd at all, but a time traveler sent to 8th century BC, and he knows all this stuff and helps all these people and saves the world from destruction and despair.
That's what Jesus did. Next.
Excuse me, Director.
Yes, can I help you?
There's a young lad here who would like to sing for you. I thought after the last couple of auditions, it might be good to squeeze him in now.
Okay, see him in. That would be nice.
My name's James, sir.
I understand you'd like to sing.
Yes, sir. You see, I think the Christmas nativity can only be properly understood if you know why there was a nativity.
Interesting. Why do you think there was a nativity?
Well, I'm not sure how you can understand that you need a savior unless you know you are offending God and desperately need his forgiveness.
I see. And how does that work?
We are so full of ourselves that we squeeze God out. How could he not be offended if we have no interest in a relationship with him?
That's very wise, James. So what does that have to do with the Christmas nativity?
We need to understand that Jesus left glory. He left the right hand of God to come down to earth. He came with a purpose.
Well, what was that purpose, James?
He came to die. He came to be a sacrifice, a substitute for us. He came to show us our hearts are sinful, and to forgive us and set us free.
Free from what, James?
free from our sins, free from our bondage, free from our fears. You see, we've all traded God's love for a lie.
What's the lie, Jane?
We think that if we hold on tight to our stuff, the image of ourselves, the things of this world, we will experience joy. But it's all empty. Only the love of Christ, the baby born on Christmas Day, Jesus, the Son of God, who came to earth and died and rose again. Only his love satisfies.
James, you have clearly understood the good news of Christmas. I'd love to hear you say it.
I'm here.
Are you here to audition?
Yes, I'm here to play Mary.
Well, you have to audition.
Okay, what's that?
Audition means you read the script and I see if you're right to play Mary.
Oh, I just thought if I showed up, I got the part.
No, it doesn't work that way. Tell me, why do you want to audition?
Well, that's
funny.
Excuse me?
Okay. Ready.
Tell me why you want to audition.
My mom made me. She said it would be good for my personality. I have an awesome personality.
Well, Mary was the mother of God. She had a lot on her mind. She had an angel talk to her that set her life in a whole new course.
Yeah, that's cool. She was also worshipped. That's cool, too. I would like to be worshipped. My mom didn't think of that. I did. That's why I have an awesome personality.
It wasn't about Mary. It's about the child she carried that we worship. Huge difference.
Okay. Look, Mr. Director, do I have to say anything? Can I just kneel and look at baby Jesus? I can do that. See? Look. I can even look back at Joseph, then back to the baby Jesus. So, do I get it?
I don't think you do. Yes. On so many levels. Let's try this. Read Luke 1, 46 to 49.
My mom didn't tell me I had to read. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked at the humble state of his handmaid. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things in me. Holy is his name.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, way cool.
What are you doing?
I'm Facebooking and tweeting this really cool moment I'm having to all of my followers.
You have 49 followers, and two of them are your grandparents who don't even know how to use Twitter. Look, I know how hard it is for you and even adults to believe that it's not all about you. In a sense, we all worship something other than God. You know, the place you pour out all your best energy, the thing that defines you, who you are, the thing you absolutely can't live without, the kind of God that will die if not plugged into a wall of things.
Ouch. True. Guilty. Okay, I want to do this. I want to be Mary and look longingly at baby Jesus.
I think I have another part for you. It's not a flashy role or even a role that would warrant a lot of tweets, but it could be the greatest role of your life.
The greatest role of my life? I'll do it.
I haven't told you the role yet.
I don't care. I'll do it.
You sure?
Totally. What is it?
Promise. You'll be in charge of the main interview.
What?
I'm Joe. Joe Stalman.
Hey, Joe. Why are you auditioning for the role of Joseph today?
Well, in all honesty, pound for pound, my wife wants me to.
Oh, so this is not something you volunteered on your own?
No.
Say it ain't so.
I can't. I wish I could. You see, my wife says I'm kind of a caveman in my own little world watching way too much SportsCenter. And she says I care more about NASCAR and hillbilly hand fishing than I do about giving back to the body of Christ.
I see. Well, Joseph is a big role. The earthly father of the Messiah. Direct the trail from his hometown to Bethlehem. On foot, over 300 miles to register for the census. Married a woman that was pregnant with the Son of God. Big shoes to fill.
About that. I probably should have auditioned for the role of a shepherd. Because all they do is watch sheep and keep them safe. Again, it was my wife's idea for me to audition for this role. That's my full name, Joseph. Joseph Arlene Stalman.
Arlene?
Yeah. You see, my mom's a twin. Her sister's name's Arlene, and I'm the third child in a family with no girls. Hence, I got my aunt's name as my middle name, Arlene. Embarrassing. Humiliating. It makes you want to just run and hide when your mama calls out your full name. And I can hear her saying it now. Joseph Arlene Stalman, you put that cat down. God didn't put him on this earth for us to make boomerangs out of. My mother was always very sensitive to the feline community.
That's something he needed to. You just might be the perfect for the role of Joseph, Joe.
Pound for pound, I'm just not seeing what you're seeing, I reckon.
Here's the deal. All the emotions you felt, the confusion, the embarrassment, humiliation, disillusionment, Joseph felt all those things.
I've seen a lot of nativity. He always looked so happy with his arm around Mary, looking down at the little baby Jesus. There aren't any of those emotions in that manger.
How do you think Joseph got to that moment? What do you think were the emotions going into Joseph's heart, soul, and mind when the angel delivered the news that Mary would be with child, carrying the Son of God?
I never thought of it like that. I guess I always just picture him saying, okay, and being good with it.
As you would say, pound for pound, it was probably a major blow to his world. He had to decide whether to follow what the angel Gabriel told him, as crazy as it sounded, or do what's best for him.
That's pretty much how I've lived life, I guess. I'm more of a live and let live kind of guy.
It's easier to be that way, but think about what it says in Luke 1:19. The angel Gabriel told Joseph, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Do you think this was good news at first for Joseph, or did he have to wrestle with what everyone would think?
I'm guessing in some ways it wasn't his will be done, but God's will.
Exactly.
Kind of like my situation. Not my will, but my wife.
Now he's gone off track. Speaking of the union, Joseph, after hearing the news and being a righteous man, wanted to divorce Mary quietly so it wouldn't be brought out in public. But back then, even during engagement, it took two witnesses to legally get a divorce. He thought Mary was unfaithful. It wasn't until the angel said to marry her and take her home that Joseph followed.
Well, I reckon if he really did feel and wonder all those things, maybe I am right for this role. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
I think you are. I think you nailed your audition with a simple realization. It's not your will, but God's. His son would say the exact same thing 33 years later as he died for the sins of the world.
Yeah. I'm sure glad he did that for me. I'll remember that when I'm looking down at the little baby Jesus. I guess that's what you theater folks call getting into character.
Something like that.
All right, then. One more thing. Do I have to wear that biblical robe thingy?
You do.
You see, I have these camel hunting pants. They're almost like a robe. Can't we do it a little bit differently?
Sorry, not your will.
Yeah, I get it.
Joe?
Yes, sir.
Did you give me that Joseph clothes one more time?
Wow. Pound for pound.
Cosmic. Grove is in orchard.
Is that Irish?
Correct.
Did you speak Irish?
Is that required for the part? Did one of them travel by camel from Ireland? I don't even think it was named Ireland yet. I thought all I had to do was present a gift to the baby Jesus.
Oh, you're fine. I was just trying to spark that conversation.
Oh, I'm not good with people.
Really? Never would have guessed.
That's why I thought this part would be great for me. You know, no talking, no interacting, just kneel, hands 3 inches from the ground, back at a 45-degree angle, and legs in a squat position, as if I'm hovering while presenting a gift.
That's a good kneel for sure.
Darn tootin'. The other reason why I feel I'd be great for this role is I'm very smart. Always have been. Smart and wise seem like the same thing.
They're really not.
Regardless, I've seen the attempts at the live nativity of lesser earthlings before me, and I think I'd be great for the role.
Did you just call us humans earthlings?
Like I said, I'm not good with people.
Well, there's a line that we've taken from the Bible and scripted for the wise men. Would you mind picking up the script and reading wise man number one, please?
Okay. Wise man number one. I had a dream that we must not return to Herod, we must go back to our own country another way.
Okay, Thank you. Next!
Wait, that is logical, Captain.
Pardon me?
I just nailed that reading. Wasn't expecting to read, but there should be no next, but welcome to Live Nativity Squad. Where's my beard and robe?
I appreciate your enthusiasm, but what are you doing with your phone?
I just googled Magi. It means great. I was great. You putting me in this role would be tantamount to Peter Jackson casting Sir Ian McKellen as Gandalf in Lord of the Rings.
The wise man wants to worship him. You're worshiping yourself. Seeking you will find. You need to do some more seeking before you can play the role of the wise man.
They sought and found the Christ child. They should go back, report to King Herod, and do what they were told. That's the smart thing to do.
Smart thing, sure, but not the wisest option. They sought the Christ child. It changed them. They followed the star, and what started out as a mission for a king became null and void when they met the true king.
Look, there's a system, you stick with the system.
Did you get what this is about? They saw what matters.
Look, I've traveled for thousands, the wise men traveled for thousands of miles to, with very little information. I, too, have traveled a long way to come to this audition.
Your audition sheet says you live 5 blocks away from the church.
I see. You're playing hardball. Let me offer you some gifts. I've got some warm jelly bellies, yellow in nature, a lot like gold. You can have my driver's license. It says Frank. It's Frank in a sense. I don't even know what I give you for myrrh. Myrrh, what a funny word. Sounds like a constipated cow.
I'm not the one you should be offering gifts to. Let me try and help you out. Read what the Bible says about the wise men, as far as your character.
They, having heard the king, went their way, and behold, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy.
You're not ready to be the wise man until you don't have anything else run your life, logic or feelings, but simply Christ. Don't miss what's really important. For everyone else in the Nativity, nothing else matters but what arrived that night. That's what makes you truly wise.
My wife, that's it, my wife. Her name's Myrna. Ha! I knew I couldn't be outsmarted.
You're married? Truly is a season of miracles. Next!
Now wait just a minute. Well, I guess I'm not good with people.
We are now ready to cast the part of Mary. Next!
Hi. My name is Connie, which is so opposite of Mary. Connie. I was named after my aunt, which is such a hard name. Mary's such a sweet, soft name.
You're fine. Thanks for taking time to come out and audition today. So, you want to portray the role of Mary in the live exhibit?
Sorry. What is it? The food's in the refrigerator. I'm auditioning for the live nativity thingy at the church. You put it in the microwave for 5 minutes on high. On high. Hi. Put our son on the phone. Hey, sweetie. Hey, can you help Daddy cook his dinner? You put it in the microwave for, yeah, that's it. Level two for 4 minutes. Okay, put Daddy back on the phone. Enjoy. So sorry, my world just never stops.
Totally okay. You have a lot in common with Mary. Her world didn't stop either.
You're right, which makes it even more perfect. I've seen the live nativity so many times, I just thought, why not? I can stand there and hold a baby. Heaven knows I have three.
Are you ready to read some lines for Mary?
She has lines? I mean, I didn't think there were lines. I've always just seen her look longingly at the baby Jesus. And then, every once in a while, look up at Joseph. And then Mary does the back forth, Jesus to Joseph, Joseph to Jesus. See? I can do that.
About reading lines?
It's Mary. She's the mom of the Son of God. I wouldn't even know what she sounds like.
I assure you the lines are straight from the Bible. That makes her a script.
Yeah, but...
What?
I read the script, or the Bible. See, Luke 1:30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God."
Yes, and?
Well, I don't know if I've found favor with God. I would hate for my words or my life to misrepresent what took place that day. I can stand there and look longingly at baby Jesus, though.
I hear what you're saying, Bonnie. But that's what we should all be doing this holiday and every day.
So sorry. It's my mom. She's not doing so well. Can I just for a minute? Hello? Hi, Mom. Well, I'm right in the middle of auditioning for Mary for the live nativity. Yes, the Virgin Mary. Yes, Mom, I realize that. What's up? Sure. I'll come over right after this. No, not a problem. Your grandson made dinner, so we're fine. Huh? You'll have to tell me who's on Fox News when I come over, okay? Love you too, Mom. Well, I really botched this audition. I'll just get my things.
I think the part of Mary was perfect for you. Just as Mary had doubts and questioned the angel saying, "How can this be?" I can see you doubt too. You see, Mary was favored. That means she was gracious, caring, considerate, clearly giving of her love. I think you embody that totally.
Oh, wow. As a mom and a wife, I feel like I'm always gripey, yelling and trying to stay one step ahead of another, and feeling like I'm always failing.
Read Luke 1:26-38.
Okay. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
So, what do you think?
I don't know. The angel said she was highly favored. I'm just me.
Connie, you're his child too. Your name is beautiful to the creator of the universe.
It seems impossible.
But you just read that nothing is impossible for God. You'll be great, Connie.
Yeah. Hey, I like the way you say my name. I can't wait to be in this place. Even if just for one night, maybe my world will spin a little slower. Maybe I can be quiet for a little bit and just look at Jesus.
You don't have to wait.
Well, a wise woman once said, "May it be to me as you have said."
Excuse me, sir. There is one more audition I think is worth you seeing.
Can we have the lights up, please?
Thank you.
was a businessman, a innkeeper, would I be too caught up in my own life to realize that God was revealing His glory in the flesh?
Oh,
probably tell you I only work here. Part-time. Half-heartedly, even at that. Honey, you put the bed down. No, I didn't say shed a few pounds. I said, oh, never mind. Hold the bed up. It's been chaos inside everyone. You see, Caesar has issued this decree that everyone in the land has to be counted. And everyone has come back to their hometown to register. That land was packed with people. I've never seen anything like it. The vendors are outselling like that. The economy has never seen better days. Quite amazing. I tell you, it would take a miracle to top what I've seen in Bethlehem over the past few weeks. A complete miracle.
Little one who was born, let me tell you a story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone who went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. How fitting it is for you that you were born amongst the mess, in a barn full of animals and hay, and an unsafe, fallen world. No palace to shield you from the world, but a full view of humanity from a barn.
from Sable's muddy stall, where cattle make their bed. A father's song is born to touch the souls of men. For every life that's lost, for every soul that's found, it reaches out this night.
crazy.
Pardon me?
I went from outside your barn. I've been inside your barn.
You kind of smell like my barn.
That's the sheep dip. I'm a shepherd.
How do you know about my barn?
The angel. The star. The star says it all.
That is an angel-like thing.
There it was, minding my own sheep, and all of a sudden, huh, there was an angel. And I was like, ah! But he told me, fear not.
Nowhere, and your only size is a star?
Think of take one more look at that star and let's head in. Let's go.
What do you think it means?
I don't know. Blue light special?
I'm serious. Do you think it's a God thing?
A what?
Maybe God is a purpose for that star.
Oh, come on, Esther. You're getting loopy on me. We've been down the road far than I desire. It's just a star.
It could happen.
Enough already.
Enough! Something. My husband, Josiah, he's a good man. Sometimes I worry he's just too busy and misses out on the blessings of life. Don't get me wrong, he's a sweet, kind, and gentle husband. Other times, he's a perfect example of my mother's if they're young. I have a joy in my heart for God. I'd like to share that joy with him, if you know me less.
My wife, Esther, a marvelous woman, no doubt about it. Sometimes I feel she gets a little carried away with what she calls these God things. But for three or four days, everything in her life, somehow around God. A perfect example? That star. She wants a parallel of that star somehow with God. It's just absurd. At other times, I look at the inner peace that she has. And I must say, I like some of it. I often find myself shying away from it because I know I wouldn't be good enough to understand the joy that Esther shares with God. I'd like to know the faith that she has, but I just get too careful. Sometimes I just wish God would reveal himself in the flesh. God in the flesh. Now that would be a miracle. Our wife, she sees miracles all day long. But I guess I keep looking for one. I guess I desire intimacy.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. What did you say?
I didn't. I thought you...
Never mind. Do me a favor. Tell those shepherds to get out of our barn. Tell them they've got to pay rent just like everybody else.
Oh, all right. Don't get in such a huff. I'll be right back.
No, maybe that's just right. Maybe that star's done something. Oh, now, Josiah, get a hold of yourself. Stop thinking such foolishness. What if that star really is God? Esther!
Little child in their embrace.
take one more look at that car before it fades away. How's the new baby boy?
Doing great.
How's Harry?
She's fine. And Joe? He's sleeping.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Look out there. What do you see?
Have you ever noticed how you always answer my question with a question?
Have you? I'm starting to think that the world is starving. Starving for joy. Starving for hope. Starving for peace. Starving for love. What about you?
I eat already. See? You did it again.
Did what?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Where was I?
Everyone was starving.
Oh, yeah. I'm starting to think this whole pain and suffering is very, very serious.
I bet you are.
And that's why I was just sitting here and thinking.
And that is sitting and
finally hit me. Hoping to be a bruise. Who is the one piece of hope, of joy, of peace, and of love that's still left in this world?
I don't know. I have to go. I'll be back in a bit.
I think maybe God. I think maybe God is trying to tell us something through that star. I just don't know what. I can't see the places. I can't put my finger on it.
This place?
The place?
Came from the east, followed the light of a most unusual star, a caravan across the desert sand to visit the prophesied child. All who beheld him bowed in worship. Hope had become reality.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
grow, young child, your story will become the greatest story that will be told for centuries from one generation to the next. Nations will be divided because of your birth. Calendars will be divided in light of your birth. The world, in all its busyness, won't recognize you at first, but some will realize the Savior entered the world. You will see the hurt, the anger, the pride, every hidden shame and frailty, and yet you will still love. You will see true worship, and you will see some rusted empty wells for a quick fix, and yet you will still love. When people read about you, they won't see a king's way of life, but you will be called the King of Kings. The greatest crown won't be bestowed on you, but you will die with a crown of thorns in your head as you gain your life so that we may have an eternal life, a real life. Yes, you will hear the words, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Pleased I am, indeed. Yes, so fitting that the Son of God is born in the manger. Amongst the mess, the world's mess. You will hear their cries, weep for them. You will hear their prayers, heal them. You will die a cruel death, and rise again for them. Some will see that though the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy, you, my son, came to give them life. Just as the prophet foretold, little one, the Lord will give a sign. The virgin shall be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. God with us. Heaven is the word, and our home.
word starts with the yellow.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
Baby born in Bethlehem, King of the Israel, born in the barn. Census, who's so pathetic?
Look, Esther, it's already starting to happen. What if they don't believe him? What if they don't follow him?
Well, he works for you. If he can work for you, he can work for anybody. Goodbye, Shikana. It's the...
I know.
Bye.
I'm
going to
try and do better.
This moment is so, so...
Holy.
Holy. Yes, holy. Well, I've got to go. Have a lot of rest with you. Never felt perfect to be anything right now. Oh, hey. It's really good. I like
it. You, huh? Esther?
Yes?
I love you.
I love you, too.
That's not what we're waiting out for. People will be wanting food in their senses. Everyone will be rushing to register for the census. My Emperor will be in their own little world. And what they won't even realize is that the Savior just entered the world. She likes it. Silent night. Yes, child. Sleep while you can, because your work is about to begin. Silent night. Holy night.
Let's read after tonight the herald the song of Christmas. An infant's cry echoes across some 2,000 years, calling us to make our hearts his home. Jesus came for us that we might have freedom, forgiveness, and eternal life. The miracle of Bethlehem is not that a man might prepare a room in our world, but that he promised to welcome all who would believe, to reign with him in heights and worlds yet unknown. So let us lay down our lives before him and enthrone him with praise that angels have never known. Let heaven and nature proclaim joy to the world. Emmanuel has come. Peace on earth. Glory to the newborn King.
Thank you.
Well, just before we close tonight, I just want to share a few words. It is important for us to try to wrap this up and try to understand what the meaning of Christmas is all about. Christmas is a lot more than just getting together with your family and your friends and having gifts under a Christmas tree. Christmas is, first of all, about a cradle. Cradle that you see behind me here. The Bible says this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And then the Bible says, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. And you're given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And the Bible says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us. Jesus Christ is not an ordinary man. Jesus Christ is the God-man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible says the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, my friends, is God himself, God the Son, in human flesh. So Christmas is all about that cradle in which the Son of God left the glory of heaven to come into our fallen world. But Christmas would mean nothing if it just stayed there in a cradle. Christmas is not only about a cradle, it's also about a cross. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to live the life that you and I could never live. The Bible says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death. That's what Christmas is all about. The Savior who was born in Bethlehem that day, his purpose was to come to die to set us free. Jesus died upon a cross so that we might be made right with God. I don't know where you're at tonight, but maybe you think that, maybe you haven't thought of the big questions of life. Why am I here? Is there really life after death? Are you afraid of dying? Is there really an eternity? Is there really a God to whom I must give an account? The Bible clearly teaches us that there is a God before whom we will all stand when we leave this world. The Bible says heaven declares the glory of God and the skies proclaim the works of his fingers. You know, the problem with us is that our sins have separated us from God. We've all fallen short of his glory, every single one of us. And sometimes we think that the only way that we're going to be able to be reconciled to God is if we do enough good things, if I do enough good works, if I go to church, if I do all these things, maybe God will just look at me and he'll let me come into his heaven. One single sin separates us from God. We've all done that. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of his glory. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to die for sinners. And he hung upon that cross because he loved us. He loved us so much that he would take on human flesh. He loved us so much he would be despised by the world, rejected by men, spit upon, beaten, tortured, never opening up his mouth in defense, taking up that cross and marching, walking towards Golgotha's hill, where Roman soldiers threw him to the ground and took out nails and nailed him to a cross. After he'd been beaten so much, beaten beyond human resemblance, and while he was on that cross, the one who never was out of fellowship with God the Father was made sin for us, separated from his Father. He said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He died for sinners like Salvation, my friend, is a free gift from God. You could never earn it. If you could earn it, Jesus Christ would have died in vain. It is a gift. God has given you that gift. The Bible says, this is the record, or this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that is not of the Son of God does not have life. Do you have Jesus Christ tonight? Do you have Him as your own personal Lord and Savior? Christmas is about a cradle, and it's also about a cross. We will all leave this world, stand before God, die. We're all headed towards that grave, every single one of us. And you can know tonight that you have eternal life. You can know that your sins have been forgiven if you will simply come to the Christ of Christmas and acknowledge before God that you yourself are a sinner, that you have offended God by the way you've lived your life. If you will simply turn from your sinful lifestyle and ask Jesus Christ to save you, God will make you his child. I pray that you will not leave this place tonight without considering what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. You can try to drown it out with all the other things, the fluff of this world, but Jesus Christ is the reason for this season. We pray and trust that you have heard that message clearly tonight in the songs that were sung, in the words that were spoken, even from the scriptures itself. Jesus loves you and wants to save you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you so much for the cradle. And we thank you and praise you so much for the cross. We thank you and praise you, Father, that your Son was crucified there. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is seated at your right hand. Father, I thank you for saving a wretch like me. And I thank you, Father, for having saved many of us in this room tonight who have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for that man, that woman, or that young person in this place tonight who doesn't understand these things, who doesn't believe these things perhaps. Tonight, I pray, Father, that by your mercy and by your grace, you would work in that person's heart. I pray, Father, that tonight, this very night, they may call on Jesus and ask him to save them from their sins. Father, would you be gracious to us? Would you give us the grace as your people, those that you have redeemed by your mercy and grace, would you give us the grace to say with Mary, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as the Lord has said. Give us the grace to live our lives for Christ. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are risen from the dead and you are seated at the right hand of God the Father, even now interceding for us. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Just before you leave, we do have refreshments in the back, desserts, coffee, some juices. We'd love you to stay. We'd love to get to know you. Thank you. Merry Christmas and God.